Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Christopher Sweeney reporting for duty like a good little podcaster. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Homo Sapiens. How are we all doing? What's on your mind? What's going well? I am the proud owner of a new 5-litre water bottle because I'm really thirsty all the time. Just going to have a sip. I hope that doesn't offend anyone. Don't think it does. Can you hear that? It's got a weird hole in it when you drink. Nearly drowned here at my own desk. Now then, what news have we got for you from Front Desk of Queerness, Homo Sapiens, your neighbourhood podcast about the world from a queer perspective? Well, I've had an absolutely wonderful day. I tell you for why. Because I've just been to the tip. Now, there is nothing better than going to the tip for me. It is my happy place. That and DIY stores, as documented heavily over the series of these 400 million episodes we've done. I love a trip to B&Q. I also love a trip to the tip. So I had to go with my husband. We went, and then what I did, which I think is a perfect way if you want to really, I don't know, get under the skin of your other half, shall I say, is everything you take out the car to go to throw away, you then start to discuss why why you shouldn't be throwing it away, why it might have another use, what you could do with it, how it's a terrible mistake to throw it away. So I did a lot of that without realising I was being quite so annoying. And then my husband maybe gently pointed out that I was being annoying. Lots of other good things going on. I tell you what, this Pride Month is great. You've had written so many lovely messages about our Pride content so far. Spotify have stuck us at the top of the hub. So we're the headliners for Spotify, which is very exciting. I was very pleased to see that. Apple Podcasts have made us the banner. So, you know, I feel very proud that what we're trying to sort of get out there for Pride is being featured and loved by you all so much. This week, we've got a brilliant guest. It's Jodie Harsh, DJ drag queen, although Jodie says she's not a drag queen, actually, and I kind of know what she means, and pop star now. She is our dose of party for this Pride Month, and I am fully, fully on board with her as a person. Fun fact, me and my husband met at her club night 10 years ago, people. Amazing, I could string a sentence together. I was so drunk the night I met her. I mean my husband. Have you listened to last week's episode, though? That was with Munro Bergdorf, activist, model, podcaster as well. We didn't really talk much about her podcast, which I regret because it's very good. Please have a listen if you haven't ever listened. You've written lovely messages, as always, about that episode, so thanks. We love hearing from you. Need I say any more other than hello@homosapienspodcast.com? Come see it. Now, a little reminder to whiten my teeth. It's just gone off on my desktop. Interesting. Any tips for whitening teeth? Can't seem to find mine. I got these things when I was in Greece on holiday, which is like a thing you put in your mouth and then you put gel inside it. And I know, as I'm saying these words, people can write in and say, don't do it because it's bad for your teeth. But they'd gone yellow and I didn't know what else to do. So I've done it and I'm not sorry. But any other tips? Anyone? Help. At Homo Sapiens on Instagram is how to get in touch. Hey, something I want to throw out to the listeners, i.e. you. I'm talking to you. So I really want to do an episode on the cost of living and the way it's going up And I've been trying to research who might be the perfect person to talk to. And I'm not finding the perfect person because I want to do an episode where we talk about the cost of living and what that means for LGBTQ plus people. But I don't want to talk about it. Tell me what you would like, because this season is about you, listeners. You get to choose. But I don't want to talk to anyone too cerebral about it, about the sort of science of economics, if that makes any sense. What I want to know is what we can do, practical things that we can all be doing to try and bring our energy bills down, how to live in a more affordable way while, you know, we're all supposed to be being more sustainable as well. And in a way that talks to specifically to the queer experience. And I want to talk to someone who is queer, really. And so if anyone knows of anyone, has anyone crossed your path who's amazing? Anyone you follow on social media who's great? Now, obviously, Jack Munro, Bootstrap Cook, would be perfect because we love Jack. But Jack's been on the podcast before and is very, very busy. So unfortunately, isn't able to talk to us. But someone like that, you know, who is a queer person who could talk to us about the cost of living crisis. And I want to hear from you about how it is affecting you. Let's start that conversation now. Why not? Please write in hello@homosapienspodcast.com. How is it affecting you as a queer person specifically? I would love to know. Speaking of emails, good segue, Chris. One day this keyboard's going to give up. Let's have a look. Email from Vicky. Hi, Chris. Hi, Vicky. My son is bisexual, bi, she's written, and we have an open house rainbow club at our home on Friday evenings for his LGBTQI plus and heteronormative friends. All welcome. Lovely. Myself, son, and daughter are travelling to London from Scotland to celebrate Pride, and as we have never been before, I was hoping you might be able to have a few tips for us Pride virgins, in inverted commas. This is amazing. Team friendly before and after the parade, things to do too. Thanks in advance, Vicky, with a little rainbow. Vicky, hello. I love you. Welcome to the party. Welcome to your first Pride. I am thrilled that you are going to be making that journey, and you just sound amazing. And this club that you do at home, Rainbow Club, sounds amazing. Good point. Listeners, I'm putting this out to you. Specifically, the request is team friendly before and after the parade, things to do for Vicky when she's coming from to London from Scotland to celebrate Pride. This is off the top of my head. During the parade, get yourself to Regent Street, drink it in, get yourself to the front if you can, pick a spot, base yourself there, take lots of water, drink it in. It is amazing. I also have to say, on my way to Pride, I have often had some of the best moments. One on the tube, I think you will have heard it in the ads, all these ads you don't like, me talking about being on the tube or towards Pride. The tube has been amazing, so make sure you get the tube there. I think that would be an amazing experience for you. Also a bus, you know, but being a part of people travelling there, amazing. I've also seen the best stuff. Like, I remember when I went up for lunch, we'd been to Pride, and then we went up for lunch somewhere in Great Portland Street, which is north of Oxford Street, and obviously the Pride March is around there. And I just saw all these groups of people, like groups of friends, running towards getting to Pride. And it just filled my heart with love because it was quiet. And I just saw this little microcosm of Pride and people having really good fun. And it's probably slightly more relaxed because they weren't in full party mode. So I kind of think drinking it in. Old Compton Street is obviously the bit that gets really busy late at night. I don't think it's particularly kid-friendly. If I'm quite honest, I don't know what the kind of kid-friendly bits either side are. Listeners, I'm putting it out to you. I'm also going to share it on Instagram. For that bit, Vicky, I'm going to throw it open to the listeners and we will keep you posted. Happy Pride Month, Vicky, and happy Rainbow Club at your house. Love it. From Scotland to Denver, people. Hi. Wow, I'm finally writing to you. I found your podcast when my closet door started creaking open. I'm loving this already. I bolted it shut more than 15 years ago after meeting the worst of the queer community. Too toxic for my taste, and my mother called me disgusting. I'm sorry to hear that. It should not have happened. I've spent the last 3 months going through a personal reckoning with who I am. I had one of those in the tip today. I came out for the first time to family and the response was super positive. Oh, I'm so thrilled to hear that. More importantly, I came out to my husband and let me tell you, I am blessed. He listened, finally understanding my recent melancholic behaviour, then suggested we opened our relationship. Okay, so now I'm understanding that the person writing this email is a woman, someone who identifies as a woman. So she was in a marriage to a man, a straight marriage. Okay. As long as I was safe, he was happy for me to fuck away. Her words, not mine, people. The weird thing is we feel closer. Interesting. Like Ryan O'Connell said in episode 128, part 2, love that you've got the number there, knowing it's there almost relieves the need to take it. Ryan O'Connell, a sage, is all I'm going to say. Your podcast has taught me so much. I mean, really, who doesn't love to talk about gay queer sex? Me, I love it. We've got more of that coming up as well. We've got a brilliant interview coming up with Bobby Box. Look Bobby Box up on the internet. That's all I'm going to say. Amazing unshackling of shame around gay sex. It's so exciting that I can't wait for you to hear it. And anyway, back to the email. And my greatest respect for the podcast is its diversity from gender, race, and ability, not just gay white men. Well, listen, thank you. That's really kind. And we could always do better, I feel, to be honest. I want you to know you have steered my journey into self-expression and freedom to live my best life. I am going to my first Pride event, as another Pride virgin, as they say, in Birmingham at the end of September. OMG, I can't wait. Love to you, Denver. Oh my God, I've just realised this person is called Denver. They're not from Denver. Sorry, everybody. Well, maybe they are from Denver. I don't know. Someone from Denver going to Birmingham Pride? Help. This is beautiful, beautiful email. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate it. Would you do me a favor? Please let us know how your first Pride went. Vicky, when I've got you your answers as well, please let me know how your first Pride went. I am dying to know. And then on Instagram, well, did you see that Rebel Wilson was, there was an Aussie paper trying to out Rebel Wilson? First things first, Rebel, welcome to the big queer family. You're going to love your stay. Please take a seat. We asked you what you thought about the paper kind of outing them, Rebel, sorry. Ron says we should all be able to come out when we feel ready. Shane says they were outing her knowing the clicks they would get. Shameful. See, this is it. Outing people is still clickbait, and when I don't know how we get around that. G-Hole says this is disgusting. A gay writer selling out his community for cheap clickbait. Yes, I forgot that the writer was gay. KM says the media applied pressure and threat. The same happened with Philip Schofield. Yes, good point. So KM's actually written Pip Schofield because I think you're going to run out of letters, and I love that. Good abbreviation. And I didn't know that Philip Schofield was at nearly outed. I don't think I knew that. Thank you for alerting me on that. BQ Con says Oz Press and her, no love lost there. Interesting. Didn't know that. I bet they totally came for her. PMC says, shameful, disgusting, problematic, and so dated in this day and age. The paper should be fined. Interesting. Herbie says, funny enough, I just listened to the Pink Panda episode. This was a perfect example. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Pink Panda episode. Justin Bengry still available on the feed, everybody. So, yeah. Speaking of love lost, not a lot of love lost with you lot and what's gone on there. Now, what can I tell you about our interview with Jodie Harsh? Jodie started out as a DJ. As you'll hear in the interview, friends with Madonna, basically. I mean, we go into that. I really like Jodie. She is a scion of nightlife, and the queer community needs nightlife. We need it, we need it, we need it, and it's shutting down, down, down. But as Jodie's setting up nights, Room Service, where I met my husband, and now does Feel It, which I think is a brilliantly inclusive, queer, beautiful, diverse party, which is what the gay community needed. Jodie is lovely. It's a really fun chat. So let me get out of the way and let you all have a listen to that. Here's Jodie. You've been releasing fucking bangers left, right and centre.
Oh, I try. Trying to put some happy, joyful music out into the world in these
little old me.
In these dark times.
How did all that come about? Because it felt like such a logical thing when I saw you were releasing music. But then how did someone approach you? Did you approach someone?
So I started making music quite a while ago, and it just went hand in hand with DJing. It seemed like a natural development. Mm. So I was making music and songwriting, and I've done stuff for like people like Charlie XCX and blah, 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 like loads of remixes. And I've remixed with people like Beyonce and whatever, done some quite cool stuff. And around, I guess, about 6 months before the pandemic, I started focusing on more of an artist project. So started releasing singles just as my own releases. Some of them were featured artists. I guess that was about 18 months before the pandemic, maybe. No, it was about 6 months before the pandemic.
All we know is time melted for 3 years. That's all we know. It's like everything just went weird.
When did we stop dancing to my music, like actually in person? And I think it was actually about 6 months in. And then the pandemic hit. And still kept chucking out some releases just on my own label. Mm-hmm. And then I made the track My House.
Love that tune.
Big sample record and really fun and disco house and kind of inspired by like Armin van Helden records and whatever. And that started to blow up. And that got the attention of Warner Records, who right. signed the record and gave me a record deal. So I now have this amazing setup where I'm signed to Warner mm-hmm. and we're releasing music through them. And it's very exciting times. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
I've literally just been in back-to-back sessions for a year. So I'm really? Sat on a folder of maybe 50 really, what I think are really great wow. tracks. And loads more that are kind of like, you know, in the rubbish folder.
So am I right in saying you are the first ever drag artist to be playlisted at Radio 1?
Yeah, for sure. Fun. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, but hang on, what about Rue and all those songs way back when?
I don't know if they were like very Radio 1, were they? I mean, I'm not really
actually,
quite sure.
Do you know what? You're right. I yeah. bet Britain didn't take much notice in that respect. I bet it was just we consumed it via MTV and America.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Big fan of Rue, and Rue opened so many doors for so many people, and yeah. I love Rue. Totally respect Rue, like mother.
Isn't it funny how, because I remember seeing Rue for the first time on TV when I was a kid, and it was big hair and it was all of that, and it took that long for it to cut through to mainstream.
She told me once that from the day they started pitching Drag Race until the day season one launched was mm-hmm. almost 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. It took them wow. about 10 years to get it on TV. Now it's season, is it 14 that's on now?
Probably.
They started pitching it 25 years ago.
That is crazy, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Progress and overnight successes take a long time to happen, I think.
Yeah, well, that's, thank God.
Yeah. But yeah, about being played on Radio 1 and stuff like that, I guess my sort of position, stance, where I come from, whatever, is slightly different place from the Drag Race thing or the Rue thing, or I'm not really performance based. I started in clubs and being a DJ, and so it's a bit more I'm not saying all their music and what Rue does, everything is any less valid at all, but I guess I just came from it from a different angle.
Yeah. And also, but what people maybe don't know quite so much, maybe they do, but it's like a lot of DJs end up going into music, but they end up, there was very much a form that they would be slightly more behind the scenes and there'd be a guest vocalist who would take front stage.
Yeah.
But then you've become the artist, which is perhaps a little bit more rare.
Maybe, but I think a lot of DJs now are household names and you know what they look like. Look at like Joel Corey, Calvin,
yeah.
David, Jax. I mean, DJs are kind of the new rock stars, I think. Mm. And to be honest, drag queens are the new rock stars as well.
Well, I was just about to say to you.
I've said that before. Yeah. So I guess that combined is like...
Is you, hello, by the way. That's what we were working towards.
But I think it is different. And I guess, you know, Fatboy Slim and people like that changed that vibe back in the day, 20 years ago, whatever. And now I think DJs can be more household names and you know their faces. And it's a bit more of a pop thing. Pop in terms of like popular, as in like... household.
Yeah, right. But there's always been a thing, without wishing to generalize, like where the DJ, you know when a DJ has a massive hit and then they have to go on some performance thing and they just look so awkward because it's not their neck of the woods. Ultimately, they're not Sasha Fierce, do you know what I mean?
Totally. But I think I don't know, I think there's a certain amount of ego that you have to have as well for being a DJ these days as well, because you do have to play that game if you're going to have commercial success, and you do have to go on those stages and on those shows and on those radio things, and it's also really fun to do that kind of stuff.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What I want to ask you about is that one of your people who you adore to collaborate with is Madonna. Correct? So Madonna, huge part of my heart. I love her.
Yeah.
You know, from the early days to all the later stuff. And I feel like people don't get her so much anymore. And that's really disappointing.
I completely agree. I obviously grew up a huge Madonna fan. I think she has been the zeitgeist for so many different eras. She's been such a trendsetter, musically and visually. I think that the people that she's collaborated with, and just curating your collaborators alone is like a huge skill. I think the way that she has sort of changed the game in the pop world has been magnificent. She's outlived, and she's definitely not done yet, but she's outlived all her contemporaries pretty much. Most of them have died, actually. And I think that she's had the most spectacular career, and the body of work that she's still working on now is magnificent. I mean, how many albums, how many films, how many amazing videos? The work ethic is completely inspiring as well, just over the last 40 years. And the output is just amazing. And yeah, I mean, of course, I've grown up a massive Madonna fan. My first concert was a Madonna concert, the Drowned World Tour.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I know all the lyrics.
Drowned World Tour.
Yeah, I mean, an amazing show. And I, you know, I find myself, we're not friends, but I find myself in the same room as her like several times a year at the moment.
Shut up.
Yeah. And we've got a lot of mutual friends. I know that's the most, if you could tell me at 16 years old that I would one day be saying, yeah, me and Madonna have all these mutual friends. Yeah, I was with Madonna a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I was
a young kid from Canterbury.
A kid in a wig from Canterbury. but we do happen to have a load of really good mutual friends. And so some, you know, sometimes they'll be like, you know, I'll be invited to a dinner party and she's at the table and that kind of stuff.
And
so I've had tons of like, more than, I wouldn't say like run-ins, but I've hung out with Madonna a bunch of times and would absolutely still love to work with her. No, that's never been suggested, by the way.
I was going to say, have you mentioned a collab?
No.
Has she commented on your music? Does she know?
For sure. We've chatted about DJ stuff. And I mean, I DJed like a party for her as well. And I do want to just point out again that I'm not mates with Madonna, but I have hung out there a bunch of times.
I'm going with mates. I'm sorry.
I don't have her number. I don't have her email address. No. No. But where I currently stand with her, I'm kind of loving her like LA Kardashian dress sense, kind of like kind of thing that she's got going on right now. It's not where I expected her to be at this stage of her life/career. It's fun. She looks like she's having a laugh.
100%. And she's always done it her way. And I'm like, brilliant.
Yeah.
Wish more people could be like her. But people tell me that the close inner circle call her M. Is that true?
M, yeah.
Because you just can't say Madonna around Madonna. It'd be weird.
Yeah. But I won't listen to people slagging her off if they're not into her output right now or her look or her, I don't know, her music choices or whatever. Because she literally is the blueprint for the pop world we now know.
Yeah. And
you know,
and also, isn't it that when someone has given you so much, you then start to look to them to give you everything you want. And maybe that's
a lot of responsibility for an artist.
Exactly. And yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that she looks like she's having loads of fun. It'd be interesting to see what she does next. I know they're doing the film thing, aren't they? I'm not sure if there's more music coming, but I mean,
maybe there's a place for you on the soundtrack. But what I always thought was amazing about her was when she was talking about doing that film, WE, and she's obviously done various films throughout her career. And this journalist said to her, I love a Madonna deep dive on YouTube, Harold.
Yeah.
Madonna being a bitch, their words, not mine, also love. But this journalist said, a male journalist said, what made you think you could make a film? She said, well, everybody told me I couldn't make music and that worked out. So what makes you think I can't do a film? You know, like if you have to remember the context of Madonna, like where she, what world she was in doing the stuff she was doing is remarkable.
The context and the context of that is in the people that you're around. If you're around super creative people who are multidisciplinary, why not reach out into another media form and give it a go? And if you can work with all the best people and you can get funding and you can go make something, why not? Yeah. I'm sure she loves a challenge. How many number one hits has she had? How many number one albums? How many sellout tours? Probably challenging things are exciting. So maybe to do a swerve and make a movie, that was a challenge for her, which she probably enjoyed. So, I mean, this is just guessing, but yeah.
Well, you know, you're close mates with her. You can.
No,
you can
I'm, not. I'm not.
Jodie Harsh comes out as not close personal friend of Madonna. The only person who doesn't want to be best friends with Madonna.
I didn't say that either, but we're just
talking. Who are your mutual friends? We've got to have a name drop.
Oh, yeah. Designers, Jeremy Scott, Ricardo Tisci, you know, who's obviously at Burberry. Matt and Marcus, the photographers. Matt's one of my best mates. Madonna's one of his best mates. Like, we're... tons of people, actually, yeah.
This dovetails nicely to... I want to talk to you about nightlife because you appear to be single-handedly resuscitating London. Actually, I'll go back to the beginning. So you are part of the reason why I am married to my husband, because I met him at your night room service.
Oh, room service, RIP. I love stories like that. And that's not the only room service wedding as well, by the way. I have heard a few others, yeah.
Oh, because room service was a Tuesday, right?
It was a Thursday.
Thursday. Oh, yeah. I've always been like, why was I out on a Tuesday?
Yeah, it was Thursday. I ruined Fridays for people.
So that was one of your first nights that you ran, but it wasn't your first, right?
It wasn't the first. I started to throw parties when I was at uni, like raves and sort of work at people's nightclubs and do the guest list and things like that. Yeah, and I just realized that I was good at bringing people together and curating music and DJing myself and basically throwing a party. And I've always seen the importance of that, because going to a club is someone's escape, you know, and I enjoy the concept of a nightclub as a sort of fantasy land and a playground and a place where you can get a safe space that you can go for 4 hours or so and forget about the outside world and kind of play. That's the whole purpose for it. Act like someone else. Act like your best self or your worst self. have fun and forget about the real world outside. And I think that form of escape is important for people. Hey, other people have religion. Other people have church they'll go to every Sunday. I'm not saying a nightlife is another form of religion, but most people have something. You know, it could be a fucking watching Coronation Street every night. And that's like someone's like absolute escape from the realities of real life, and then they switch back to the news or go back to work or whatever. But for a lot of people, nightlife is this sort of escape zone. So I've always seen it as being very important, and I started going out to clubs when I was 15, and obviously as a dance music fan and someone who likes to go out and, you know, snog someone and have a crazy night and the excitement of not knowing where a night is going to take you, I've always been fully aware that that's something that A, I love, and B, I'm kind of good at putting together. I also enjoy branding as well.
Right.
Like visual identities and like artwork. And, you know, I've had to...
Fascinating. You know, have you ever seen that poster that is like hairstyles of famous people? And it's like Bowie and, you know, all these hairstyles you can recognize.
Yeah.
And it's like... I think even Obama was on it and I recognized him. Right. But it's like, you've got to go to a certain level. It almost is like branding, and your hair is so synonymous with you.
Totally. So my hair is out of, we'll call it hair, but you know, who are we kidding? But my wig is semi-conscious decision. I realize it suits my face shape. Mm-hmm. It's easy. I don't really care. It's not that I don't care too much about my look, but I like that it's a sort of a uniform and it doesn't require much thought. I'm not on Drag Race doing, you know, a different runway every week. I like a consistent silhouette or look. It's easy for me. I'd rather spend the time working on music or doing other work than like creating a look. For the kids, you know, it's just not what I do. There are so many people that are so much better at being absolute chameleons and like throwing amazing looks, and you never know what they're going to look like. That's just not what I do. I'm not saying I'm not very good at it. Well, I'm not very good at it. I just think just one look is just so it just suits my lifestyle.
and I love the look, and I also love that you say that it's simple, because it looks like a lot of work. But I want to know about the creation of Jodie Harsh, because obviously I've been aware of you for years and years and years, and we'd sort of occasionally passed like ships in the nightlife, and I'd actually forgotten that your name is based on Jodie Marsh.
Yeah, kind of. So she is like some model that isn't really like around anymore. And because my real name begins with a J, my name was given to me as Jodie, such a boring name. And I don't know, the name was just given to me by someone that I was hanging around with, like,
I like the name, Jodie.
At the time. And it's kind of funny, and it's sort of like, I don't know, there's always been a very a thing in drag culture where a punny name is like quite a regular thing. You know, Cheryl Hole.
Yeah. Can I tell you my drag name?
Yeah.
Annette Zero.
Oh.
Did you get it?
No.
Annette Zero. Because, you know, we've got to get to net zero.
Oh, I see.
I thought that would be better received.
Have you done drag?
No. I mean, it was really funny because I used to, as a kid, I wore dresses. That's all I did. Loved it. And then I weirdly stopped. And I was talking about this earlier today, funnily enough. I was like, I wonder if I stopped because I felt like I didn't, because the patriarchy got me, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or if it kind of died off in me. And I do genuinely, having had fucking 15 years of therapy, I do think it's just something that went away. Rather than me hiding it. But I went as Kate Moss to my 13th birthday. I've just
remembered. Oh, did you?
I just so remembered
cute.
This.
That's so cute.
I so didn't look like Kate Moss either.
In stark contrast, I didn't dress up. I didn't like put my mum's dresses on when I was a kid at all.
Really interesting.
Yeah. So I guess you got it out of your system, and I'm still working through my system with it now.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because if you strip back all the bullshit around gender, I just felt most at home in that stuff. And actually, what happened was, if I'm remembering the history correctly, is like, I then discovered tracksuits and was like, I fucking want things to be easy. And I and almost like the uniform, but in a very different way.
Totally. Like,
and then I sort of, and I love clothes, and I love people like you or amazing people in the public eye who can dress beautifully. Because I do think, and this is not news, but like, I think fashion is a language, and outsiders use it to speak because they can't in other ways.
Because I think another reason why I always look the same is like, let's focus on the music or the party or whatever, as opposed to what I look like. That's what I mean by my look being a sort of a semi-conscious decision to sort of like go, this is not what this is about.
Hello, end of part one. Loving chatting to Jodie. Hope you're loving listening. What have I got to say to you? There's more in part two, so go listen to that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.